right, here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast and welcome to the final episode of 2023.
That's it. We are here for the final one, the final countdown, and it is the day before the new year, or should I say the last day of 2023 if you're listening to this when it comes out, which is exciting or reflective or maybe just not that interesting, depending on your religion, maybe. But you're with us, and we're excited that you're here. We're excited that you've made it to the end of the year. Welcome.
Yes, how good. What a year. A big one or a small one, depending on what you've been up to. Or an average one, who knows? But yeah, we've had fun. We've had some fantastic guests, which we have been so blessed to chat to and meet and run with and all those good things. And we hope that you have all enjoyed the episodes, whether you have just started listening or maybe you started at the start of this year or you've been with us the whole time. We've had some really, really interesting guests come on this year and we are, yeah, really pleased about it.
Yeah, we are. So what we're going to do as a bit of an agenda for this episode, we're going to talk about, I mean, we've got loads of episodes. We're going to talk a little bit about our favorite ones personally, and then the listeners' favorites, and then a little bit more about what our learnings were from the episodes, and then just generally a bit of a summary of our own personal years regarding our training, racing, and then looking forward to next year, what we've got on the agenda for the podcast and our own running journeys.
Yeah, exactly. Would you like to kick things off with your favorite episode?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm picking two, and I know you're picking two as well, Soph, because we had lots of wonderful episodes and it would seem unfair to only pick one. And both my episodes that I've picked are quite different and for different reasons. So first one that I'm going to mention is Aiden, the dietitian. Now, as the name suggests, he's a dietitian. And in the episode, we spoke about carb loading, we spoke about fueling, we spoke about gut training, and we spoke about some very specific details around how many carbs to have, how much caffeine to have, how much beetroot juice to have. And it was a really insightful episode. I think a lot of the concepts were things that I was aware of already, yet it was a really great reinforcer and reminder of all the things that we can do to enhance our performance. And I think it challenged me a little bit or encouraged me, I guess, a little bit more, maybe just that extra push that I needed to actually start doing some of this stuff. Because I think in the past, I used to think that carb loading and really nailing nutrition is something that is very much about people that are performing at the high end. And I didn't really think it was something that you should worry about or get that into as just an everyday runner. I kind of thought like, oh, you don't really need it. Like if you're just going out for your regular jogs, like who really cares? And I think you could still argue both ways in the sense that like at the end of the day, like you're the one who's going to miss out if you don't fuel well. But I kind of am just realizing that it's just such a great way to enhance your enjoyment. Like if you feel well and do your like good pre-carb strategies, intra-carb strategies, caffeine, like you do all those good things, you're just going to enjoy your sport more. So I'm like, well, why not just make it feel good and enhance that? So that's something that I'm very grateful for.
Very nice. I like that. And I agree. I think it is, I guess, an easy win. I mean, it's not super easy because it can be just something else to think about. But if you can just get into the habit of taking the right stuff on regularly, probably more, I think a lot of us just aren't taking on enough, but getting into the habit of gradually over time, practicing, taking on more. Yeah, as you said, it's just going to make it more enjoyable, more comfortable. We'll perform better. We'll probably recover better. And it's just a win-win.
Mm. And something else, and I don't know if it was spoken about specifically in this episode, but around the science of like you will perform better if you've got more carbohydrate access. Mm. Like performance goes down and that's very well researched. Performance will just go down as those glycogen stores become depleted. I used to sort of think that maybe like just on race day you'd be able to pull them out and then have that performance enhancement and there might be some benefit of, you know, training low, blah blah blah. And I think there is some research on that. But I think something that Aiden did speak about was the fact that you do need to train your gut to be able to absorb it. So you actually do need to train with it because you don't get as much out of it if you don't train with it. So again, for people that might have sat on the other side of the fence of just like, oh, like I don't need it, I'll be fine. And like, you know, I can do it on race day. Like you actually are just missing out. And like, if you want to get faster overall and better overall, it just makes more sense to just be doing these things all the time, because you might only get like 1% better for doing it in a year. But if that happens every single year, then that adds up to a lot. And I mean, 1% better every year, it doesn't sound like much, but that's actually huge. If you got 1% better every year as a runner, that's amazing. I don't think I've run 1% better since I was 8. So I'd love any percentage
You
right
peaked
now.
too early.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I peaked
Advanced
today.
8-year-old.
Oh, anyway. So yeah, that's why I liked that episode. And in terms of what I've done since that, I have started, well, I did start having a snack before my runs, but I haven't really run in like 5 months, so I can't say I really had much practice at it.
Okay, but you will when you're able to, I'm sure.
I will. I have been having stuff before my swims.
Oh, yeah.
I did have some oats before my swim the other day,
Good.
which was good.
All right. One of my favorite episodes from this year was number 88, Nick Jankowskis. We talked all about VO2 max and blood lactate analysis for performance, and I loved it because I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to this kind of thing. I really enjoy understanding the data a little bit better and the physiology behind what's actually going on when we are running and when we are pushing our boundaries. And Nick understood it a lot more than either of us did. And it was really nice to hear someone who does this kind of thing all the time, does a lot of testing, works in the lab, and has seen such a wide variety of populations from elite athletes to everyday recreational runners. And he really understands what is going on within us when we are running. So we talked about what is lactate threshold, what is VO2 max. Why should we be testing those? How does the test actually work? What is fraction of expired oxygen and how is this relevant? And it kind of really broke down a lot of those, I guess, sciencey terms that a lot of us runners speak about, but maybe we don't fully understand. So it was nice to, yeah, get a little bit more clarity on those terms and how we can best apply them to our own training.
Has that changed how you've approached your training, or changed how you've even thought about the training that you're doing, or intention going into your sessions?
Yeah, I think it really helped to clarify, I guess, what those different training zones are and why it's so important for us to be spending a certain amount of time at that zone two heart rate. What actually is the threshold and why should we spend time in the threshold zone? Why should we do more higher intensity efforts and kind of basing our training on those kind of results? So looking at your heart rate data and how that correlates to your RPE, your rate of perceived exertion, and using that to then determine your intensities for interval training, things like that. So I've been working with a coach for the last few months. So I've been following a bit of a program there. But once I've finished with Tarawera, I'm keen to get into the lab, do a test, set my zones, look at the power data as well, and just get a really nice overview of all the different metrics and how I can best, I guess, progress from here. Because I feel like the early stages of this year, I was kind of rehabbing that injury, doing a bit of sporadic training, and then did City Marathon and then got into a really nice routine, and I've just kind of been building from there. So I'm keen to get just like a solid block of training done, do Tarawera, see what I can do there, and then kind of refresh, reset, retest, and yeah, use some of those principles that Nick spoke about in the next kind of block.
Nice. Yeah, I think when I listened to that episode, I mean, there's a lot of detail in it. And I think for me, I was thinking that there's, again, like similar to what I said about Aiden, there's so much more that we can get out of our training if we just have a little bit more intention and structure. And like, it doesn't mean that you have to be so structured and so, I guess, like tied to a program or tied to one specific way to do things. Like, you can still have flexibility and spontaneity and just do a little bit of whatever. But it's made me learn, like, for such a simple sport, getting a little bit of guidance from a professional can go a long way to not only enhance your performance, but enhance your enjoyability. And I think it just makes me think, why not? Like, there's so much more we can get out of things. And I used to have this perspective like years ago that, running is this natural thing and you just like roll out of bed, put your joggers on and just go for a run and like just see how you feel and go as far as you feel. But I have really shifted my mindset on that. Like, I really want that to be true in some circumstances. Yet what I've realized is that doesn't always work out. Like, for me, that's led to injury, right? Like, if I'm going based on how I feel, I just have run myself into plenty of injuries. So I think there's a lot to learn from the experts, and probably just as a summary of all the different experts we've had on, is that little tweaks and little adjustments can go a long way, and you can still enjoy that simple, sort of spontaneous, free-flowing feel of running, but with just little tweaks and little adjustments, and you're just going to make it that much better.
Yes, absolutely. Small little changes, no, nothing major, no big overhaul, but just little habit changes or being aware of certain things will go a long way. I love that. Thank you, Lydia. Now, your second and final favorite of the year.
Yeah, I should say too, picking favorites is really hard because we have loved, I mean,
Everyone.
we've loved all, I guess, really. And there's been so many that we're like, oh my gosh, that was so good. Like, we love chatting to this person and we love learning from this expert or this storyteller. So these episodes that we are picking as our favorites wasn't easy. So yeah, this is not about there's one that's better than another. This is just like what we're picking in this moment. So we love all, I guess, we love all episodes. But my other one that I wanted to mention, my notable mention, is Jenny Valentich, who is an author and journalist. And she had a book called Everything Harder Than Everyone Else. And this is a book that I've raved about and recommended to, oh, so many people. I would say I've recommended this book probably at least once a week for this whole year, maybe longer. And I just think so much of what Jenny spoke about in this book. And if you search Jenny Valentich into Google, you'll see she's done many, many podcast interviews. And I first came across her when she was interviewed by Brad Beer on Pogo Physio podcast. I think that's what it's called. Or the Physical Performance Show. It's not called, but for us it's called it, the Physical Performance Show, which I imagine many of our listeners might already listen to. It's a great podcast. But I came across Jenny and she was talking about her book that she'd written. And Jenny comes from a background of addiction. And then she wrote this memoir about addiction. And then later on, wrote this book about really just every human who does extreme things, whether it's a sports performer, sorry, a sportist or an artist,
Sportist. That's not a thing.
a sporting person or an artist. That's the one. We put them together.
Athlete.
Athlete. So she interviews people doing extreme things and she gathers all this information. She looks a bit at the research. She talks to people, hears their stories. And oh, it was so fascinating. And if you guys have listened to the podcast for a while, you'll know that I'm a very reflective person. I love diving deep into concepts and I love thinking about the why behind people and what they do. And so obviously, I love interviews where we get to talk about very practical facts and things that we can take action on. But something about what Jenny writes about in her book and getting to chat to her in person, I mean, it was just a surreal moment. Like, I felt a bit sort of overwhelmed and excited to have her on the show that
Yeah, you never get nervous for guests, but
I
Jenny was a
know,
big deal.
I know. And I feel like I just couldn't even ask any questions because I was just really excited to have her on. And she's just a real professional. Like, she's absolutely amazing. And when we had her on, she'd actually just done her bodybuilding show a couple weeks before. So she was still like recovering from that and pretty out of it before we recorded with her. But she's absolutely incredible. And yeah, I highly recommend to read her book. I guess I need to try and summarize this a bit because I'll just talk for ages about how great I think Jenny is. But my summary is that there is so much more to the why behind what we do, even if we don't realize. So I would really encourage you to ask yourself why you're doing what you do and just reflect, like, just think about your purpose behind every action that you take. And I think having a purpose just gives you more enjoyment of your activities. But what Jenny dives into in her book is a lot about childhood trauma and how people often use sport as a way to mask their pain or suffering, or a way to sort of prove themselves to the world or prove themselves to themselves. So often it's about self-worth or avoiding pain or finding a controllable way to sort of relive some kind of childhood pain. So it was just absolutely fascinating. And I had so many reflections from our chat and from the book. And then probably the biggest like action point from the conversation and from the book as well is the contrast between telic and atelic activities, which what that is referring to is activities or sports or hobbies that have a goal and a very clear objective endpoint compared to activities that have no goal and they're there purely for joy. And the reason that I find this so fascinating, interesting is because this is something that I've tried to do the last couple of years, is have more activities with no set goal and no set endpoint, and have activities that are simply for play and pleasure. And it was really cool to hear Jenny talking about that and about including that in your routine as a way to have some kind of balance, or like a way to balance out your potentially really sort of gritty and all-encompassing ultra endurance goals, potentially, if that's your thing. So, yeah.
Nice. That was great. I yeah, also really enjoyed that episode, but I feel like you summarized it well. So I will leave it there. Thank you for that. And my second episode for the year. And as Lydia said, we did love them all. And I feel a bit mean choosing some, but these were just a couple that stood out to us and we just took away particular things. But all of our guests were fantastic. So thank you all if you're listening for coming on. My second choice is Andrea, otherwise known as the Slow Coach. Now, this also happens to be our most shared episode of the year, which is really cool. And I think just shows how important Andrea's message is and how needed she is within the running community. Because I think before her, at least in Sydney anyway, or at least where we are, there's kind of a bit of a gap for runners who were maybe at the back of the pack. Maybe they weren't sure where to get started. Maybe they felt like they were a little bit slower than the average runner. And Andrea is really tailoring her coaching services and her content she puts out on Instagram and her message to this group of runners who were often kind of left behind previously. So it's a really important message, and I just think it's super valuable. And it was really nice to hear her perspective and how she went from being a self-proclaimed couch potato to an ultra marathon runner. We talked about her coaching philosophy, the mindset for going into a race, knowing that you're going to be at the back of the pack. Talked about some advice for those runners who are wanting to get started but feel like they're too slow or unfit or too old, and the assumption that a good athlete is automatically a good coach. So I really loved this from the kind of the coaching perspective, hearing how Andrea works with her clients and the mindset and frameworks that she puts in place. And I just think there are so many listeners who would have gained a lot of value from that. And yeah, I just really appreciate her sharing what she does.
Yeah, I love that episode as well. And there's so many episodes that I loved. And so, yeah, we could say something special about all the episodes because there were so many great things. And yeah, Andrew was absolutely incredible. The way she spoke, it was very inspiring. Like, I just felt really empowered. And I think probably one of the biggest things from the episode that she spoke about, which was really cool, was about having the different goals, like having, and it's almost similar to, I mean, it's not Jenny's approach, but a similar sort of theme of like thinking about why you're doing things, which Andrea spoke on, how you have your two goals and one is like the secondary kind of more, not so fun goal, but like something that is more sustainable and long last. Do you remember that, Soph?
Yeah, the two goals and a why. So when
Yes.
you sign up for something, do the event, and then if that's all that you've thought about and all you've planned for, do you then just kind of fall off the rails and not know what to do with yourself? But having that secondary goal, not needing to be something bigger or longer or faster or harder, just something different, is a really nice way to keep some sustainability within your training and make sure that you're consistent and moving forward, but not necessarily just always looking for the next big thing.
Yeah, well said, Sophie Lane.
Thank you so much. So we also had some of the audience, some of you guys sending in your favorite episodes of the year. So we'll just briefly touch on a couple of those. We had Paige Penrose being one of the favorites. I really like this conversation as well. I think we don't have a heap of episodes with people around our age who are kind of up and coming, getting into the running scene and kind of exploring how that looks for them. And I think it was really nice to get Paige's perspective on kind of starting in the starting in the running world and kind of climbing up the ranks, going to do a college experience, racing against some really incredible athletes. And yeah, hearing that story, I think, is something that we haven't touched on a lot. So it was really nice to hear what she had to say.
And also, Paige's, well, at the time of interview, she was managing a femoral bone stress injury, which was pretty bloody hardcore. And so it was interesting to hear about what her cross training looked like and how she was managing that mentally. And Paige is pretty bloody tough. Like, yeah, if you guys check out her Instagram, Paige Penrose, she posts some really nice things. And she, yeah, she's quite reflective as well. And the way she's managed this injury from both physical and mental standpoint, I was really impressed by. So that was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And another one was Sota Mahara, one of our favorites, just our one of our favorite people in general, let alone our favorite guests. We talked about the running community, we talked about Sota's running journey, and just had a bit of a fun chat. So if you haven't listened to that one, I would highly recommend that for a nice little easy Sunday jog listen.
Yes, we love chatting to Soda, and we will definitely be having him back on the podcast because
Yes.
we could just talk to Soda all day about all things running. So stay tuned, guys. And
Yes,
if you haven't
also,
already
yeah, check out his
followed
YouTube. Is that what you're about to say?
Soda's
'Cause I'm on
YouTube.
there and you're about to be on there, aren't you? I'm ready.
Yes,
See your
correct.
videos.
Yes.
Excited.
Okay, another one which was a popular fave from our wonderful listeners is Dr. Izzy Smith. Now, Izzy Smith, when recording, was just a couple months away from being an endocrinologist. So she is a medical doctor. And probably when this episode goes out now, she will be an endocrinologist. And we spoke all about hormonal function and bone stress injuries for endurance runners. So this episode was really just the one-stop shop when it comes to everything hormone related and bone function for runners. So if you have had a bone stress injury or really, if you're a runner running, I'm going to say over 40 or 50 Ks a week. Now, you can definitely have bone stress injuries running less than that. But once you're running over that 40 to 50 Ks per week, you have a much greater likelihood. Or if you are a female, you have a greater likelihood. I mean, gosh, we spoke about all this stuff in the episode, so I won't go into it. But it was just a really great episode. So I would recommend you listening to that really as just a nice preventative measure. Or again, if you've had bone stress injury in the past, and when I say bone stress, I mean stress fractures, stress reactions. I'm covering all of that under that umbrella.
On the topic of bone stress, another favorite that came out was one of Lydia's solo episodes, all about bone stress injuries. So if you haven't listened to that, and if you are vulnerable for
If you have soft bones.
if you're weak, so yeah, if you haven't checked that out and you're interested in bone stress injuries, or if you're just a runner or an active person, definitely worth listening through that just so that you can get a really good understanding of bone stress injuries.
I might actually do another part to that because in the
Oh,
episode, if you listen, I
plug.
said it would be part one and there was no part two.
Oh, well, I mean, one part per year, that's fair.
One part per year. So actually I remember now, the inspiration behind that episode was because I thought I had a fifth metatarsal bone stress injury. So
Yeah.
guys, if you listen to that and I said I've got one, I got my MRI back and I didn't have one. So it was a whole like
Delete the
dramatic
episode.
evolution of me like having this freak out, recording an episode, and then taking my moon boot off the next day and going for a run and then not recording another episode.
Right. Well,
So
part two is coming. I'm
part two is
excited.
coming with some more updates and just more insight onto managing coming out of that. All right,
Very good.
next one. What was the other listener favorite, Sophie Lane?
It was Scott Goddard. Now, Scott is
Yes.
a researcher. I'm probably going to miss some of his titles, but he is a legend, a PhD. What do you call a PhD person? A person with a PhD? A doctor.
The doctor. He has a doctorate in sports psychology, specializing in flow state. And
Yes.
holy moly,
Moly.
Scott Goddard,
If you know Lydia, you know this is right up her alley.
this is another one of my favorite conversations. We spoke about flow state. Like, how could that not be just such a fascinating topic? So, guys, this is the episode. Like, I can't believe I had almost forgotten that we did that this year. For some reason, I thought it was last year. It was like so long ago.
Episode
It was
80.
right at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And guys, flow state is fascinating. I never used to believe it existed. I thought it was something people made up and were like, oh yeah, I'm in the flow state. I'm like, what does that mean? Like, just what's that thing you say? Head down, bum up, put the work in. Like, what is this fluffy flow state thing? I don't get it. Like, it's hard. Like, what are you talking about? But no, flow state is real and I have been in it before upon reflection.
Wow.
And Scott Goddard spoke about the things that you can do pre-run to help you access it, and then about the science emerging about what flow state is and how it can enhance your running and how elite athletes may use it in certain contexts, but not all contexts. So just, oh, fascinating. And guys, we are going to do another episode on flow state, and we're going to get the big dog in. And
Who's that?
that's secret. Tell you
Oh,
later.
bigger than Scott.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Scott's supervisor.
Whoa, I'm
The big
nervous.
dog. Yeah, we'll talk about that off air. Anyway, so exciting, guys. More to come on flow state. And the other listener favorite was shin splints. Now, this is giving me a reminder. A couple of years ago, we had an episode on shin splints. And I remember when we were doing the recap, we were like, Mr. Shin splint.
Oh yeah,
Remember
I do
we had
remember
Mr.
that. I
Shin
feel like that's
splint.
a really niche joke that not many people are
Joke.
gonna get.
But this year, I did a solo episode on shin splints.
Are you
So,
Mrs. Shin Splints?
well, I'm not because I'm not married to Mr. Shin splint. If
Wow, what a
Mr.
plot
Shin splint
twist.
is listening, just sorry about that. But maybe I could be Ms. Shin splint just to
Maybe.
conceal my
Dr.
marital
Shin
status.
Splints.
Not yet, not yet. But guys, you know, this is a popular episode because it's a popular condition. Like, everyone wants to get shin
It's so in demand. In 2023, Shin
splints.
Splints was trending.
Yeah, we have so many. I would say it's definitely my most commonly treated injury in the clinic.
Wow.
All day, every day, we get some good old splints in the shin. And it's not fun. It's not a fun one. So
Why is it
if
actually
you,
called splint, shin splint?
oh, you know, I didn't cover that in the episode. So maybe it's
Oh,
part
surely the
two.
definition of the name is up the
It's a great question because in my
top.
head, when I think of the word shin splints, I think of splinters in my
Yeah,
shin.
that it's
Oh,
a good
it is
visual.
not a good vision. No, it's awful. I should say, I don't think the condition is as bad as the visual of splints in your shin. Like, oh, not nice. Anyway, guys, if you want to know how to rehab your medial tibial stress syndrome or shin pain, then listen to that episode. Or if you want to not
Nice.
get shin pain, listen to it.
Nice. I'm Googling and nothing's telling me why it splints. It's just saying it's pain along the middle side of the tibia. That's not what I want. I want, why is it splint? Anyway, they were the brief summary of some of our episodes from this year. Now, if you haven't listened to all the other ones, then you can find out for yourself and you can decide which your favorite is. But moving swiftly along, let's chat about our 2023 training, running, racing highlights. Now, Lydia, kick us off with yours. Sorry.
Well, was all about my racing highlights.
Let's
We were pretty
take it back
short.
to January, February. You were on the track doing the 5K, weren't you, at some point?
True. So actually, yeah, some good peaks this year. I'd
Yeah.
almost forgotten it was this year because it feels like such a long time ago. But I did do a 50K. I did an ultra marathon this year.
Oh, was that this?
Gone.
Wow, March.
Yeah.
You
So
did.
at the start of the year, January, I was like having some time off work. I went up to the Gold Coast hinterland, like Sunshine Coast hinterland, ran in some beautiful rainforest trails around there. So that was like a real lovely running highlight. In particular, a weekend I went away with one of my wonderful friends called Micah, and we camped and ran and camped and ran, and we just spent our weekend in the rainforest, and it was so wonderful. So that was like a good running memory, not a race, but you know, that's a notable mention because I don't have many races to mention, so that one gets mentioned.
Yeah, fluff it out a
And that
bit.
was, that's like the Jan peak.
Nice.
Feb, I moved to Sydney, and
Oh.
I was like, I wasn't feeling that fit when I moved because like I had like I got sick in Jan, and I remember when I was doing that rainforest run, I actually felt really fatigued. I remember running, I was like, gosh, like I must have lost so much fitness. Like we were running like 20, 25K runs, and I was like, I just feel tired, like I don't feel very fit. But in Feb, I moved to Sydney. We moved to Sydney. I moved to Sydney. Here
We were
in my
reunited.
plan. And we were reunited. And there was the Turbo 5000 meters, which was a track race. And I was so excited because I just moved to Sydney. I was like, oh my gosh, a track race is so fun. And I surprised myself. I got into the flow state on the run and I
Nasal
broke,
breathing.
yeah, nasal breathe the whole way. There was a really nice moon, I remember. And every time I ran around like the 200 meter start, like that back half of the track, I just was watching the moon. And then every time I went through the start line, there were like people calling out. I was nasal breathing. I was focused. I just felt so relaxed and calm and excited. And I broke 19 minutes, which I was just like, oh yeah, if I can get like 20 minutes, like in the 20 minute, I'll be happy. And it was like 18:50, I think. And I was just like, oh my God, like I am elite. Like that is the peak of peaks. I was so excited and it just felt so good. It felt so comfortable. It didn't feel hard. So I was like, wow, this is the year of the 5K. Like, which wasn't I know.
Oh, it
It's
was
not
the
even
month of the
been
5K.
it was the night of the 5K.
I mean, it was a great 5K. So, like, if you're gonna do one, you may as well make it a good one.
Well, that's true. That's true. And then the week later, I was like, all right, I'm gonna start doing some like speed work at the gym, like start working on some fast twitch power stuff. And I started with my hamstring.
Was that then? Wow.
So
What a
literally,
journey.
race was the Thursday. On the Tuesday, I was doing some overstretching because I'm an idiot. And then really like fast concentric. So like overstretching my proximal hamstring, fast concentrics. And I was like, oh, it feels tight and weird. Go home, sit down for an hour, recording a podcast, get up, have a cold shower. I'm like shivering and shaking, like, you know, when your body all clenches up and tightens up. I've never told this girl, so embarrassed by this, but like,
Yeah, the
I was
truth's
all
coming
like,
out.
yeah, like, you know, you get the shakes and your body's like really tight. And I was like, it was a couple of hours after the gym. So I was like a little bit like, I'd gone heavy at the gym. I'd like push myself. I was like a little bit tight and like shaking around. And I like had dropped something in my bathroom and like bent down really rapidly to pick it up. And bam, there goes my hamstring.
Snapped.
Snapped it straight
Can't
into.
believe it. I mean, I
And
can because it happened.
since then, I've been a cripple. Like,
Oh,
well, it's the
whatever.
truth.
Imagine
So
if you never dropped that thing.
I know, I know. Anyway, basically, proximal hamstring tear, which I definitely pushed a little bit too much because 6 weeks later, I ran
Run a
50Ks.
50K.
And
That
at that
was.
point that I ran the 50K, it was 6 or 7 weeks later. So, for context, tendon tears are not like a 3 to 6 week muscle tear recovery. It's more like a 12 week-ish. And like at the proximal tendon of your hamstring, it's a little bit more niggly. So, that took me a really long time to recover from, slash I even felt it in the gym yesterday for context. Like it has been like a very slow, long journey, and it's ended up sort of merging into just like a bit of a proximal hammy tendinopathy, but definitely pushed it more than I should have. And then that turned into the cascade of injuries with my cuboid syndrome, my groin slash adductor hip flexor thing, my nerve pain, my everything. So since then, I basically haven't run, but it was a great start to the year. And
Really
then
good
bang.
Q1.
And I should mention that 50K was lovely, and like
Yeah.
I actually felt pretty good. My hamstring wasn't any worse after it. Like I just walked on all the hills. So any physios I've seen, I walked every single hill, but I ran as hard as I could on the flats and the downhills, and everything felt good. Recovered within a couple of days, blah blah blah. But yeah, we have gone downhill since.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh yeah.
I can't wait
That's
to go for a run with you one day.
I can't even be
That's a
like
goal for
next.
2024.
No, but the thing is, like, you know, I didn't realize how long this bloody cuboid was going to go on for. And if anyone wants to Google cuboid syndrome and give me some tips, please go for it. But we're not even going to dive into it net today or now at all. But I just didn't think it was going to take this long. Like, I'm not someone to be overly hopeful. I'm also not someone to be overly pessimistic. Like, I think I sit in the middle. I always try and be quite neutral and just say it how it is, go with how it feels. And like, if I had a patient with what I had, I'd be like, look, mate, take a couple of weeks off. Maybe a month, maybe a couple months, but like I haven't been able to hop on my leg since April. Not been able to do a hop, literally since April. So I remember when I went away and saw rocks, but out of the water, could not hop. So that is what's April, the 4th month, and we're in the 12th month. That's 8 months.
Good
That's a
maths.
long time. Is that right? Did I get the math right?
You're
Yeah,
correct.
and like to
It's
be
too
completely
many.
honest, I wouldn't expect any sort of like injury to go that long.
No.
It's a little bit weird. So I would love to be like, yes, next year we're on. But I'm like, it only peaked a couple months ago. So I feel like it could be, I don't know, it could be a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I still am excited about it whenever it's going to be.
Yeah, don't get too excited. You might be waiting a while. You might be having to do some more swim supporting because I think I'm finally back into my swimming.
Good.
Yeah, took me a while. The
Yeah.
8 month injury have only started last week. Yeah,
It's all right,
a
you're
few
busy
months ago.
walking.
No, I was. And I've retired from the walking because I'm just not convinced that my foot liked it, even though it didn't hurt. Yeah. Anyway,
Right.
that's all right. Tell me, Sophie Lane, about your training slash racing highlights.
Okay, I will. It's been a very good year for me.
Everyone, buckle in. Here we go. We started on the low and now we're onto the high. Sophie Lane's racing highlights. We've got at least 45 minutes of gold medals. I'm
No.
excited because I will say, I'm not that active on Strava. Oh, I'm active posting, not active following. But like, I feel like I don't even know what you get up to these days, Sophie Lane.
Wow, I thought you had my
No,
notifications on.
I have. I've got you start,
Thanks.
but I just might not look at it.
I should get my Strava up, but basically, where do I begin? It's just so much. No,
Yeah,
basically,
sure.
like I feel, you know, when Jesus died and they like had the before and the after that. I feel like we're talking like before city marathon, after city marathon. I feel like that's how I'm looking at my year, you know?
So like I was the sacrifice. I died and you've been
You were the
forever.
lamb, the sacrificial lamb.
Oh,
No, but I feel like the first pre-city marathon, it was a bit random, a bit of rehab, all a bit all over the place. And then post-city marathon, it's just been going great guns. So I'm just having a look now. My little graphs,
skyrocketed, I think is the term. Skyrocketed.
Strava's. So yes, highlights were GNW 30, the Narrow Neck, and Stromlo. Those three events all within the same month was a really fun month, and I really loved that distance of like 25 to 30K, just enough to be kind of long, but not so long that it just took forever. Just a really nice distance. So really enjoyed that. I've been doing heaps more trail running lately, which I'm loving. We started the Pace Athletic Crow's Nest Run Club, which I feel like that's a big highlight. That has been so nice.
Hang on. You started.
Well, it was a team effort. Shout
Yeah,
out to
but
Soda and Mitsu
of
and Will.
course, but you drived it.
I
You
didn't
drove that
drive.
shit.
I drived
I'm
it.
no, you drove
Drove it.
it. Oh, sorry, I'm deteriorating. I
That's okay. You did
made my
well.
aunt remember.
Yes, so that has been a really nice thing this year. I've really enjoyed that. And just meeting the people there has been really cool. And just having that kind of weekly social run on a Thursday has been lovely. Yeah, so I reckon that's a big highlight. And then just getting into a really nice rhythm with my training, just being really consistent over the last like 3 or 4 months and kind of running 6 days a week. I'm really enjoying it.
Can we just pause for a second?
Yeah.
I'm fairly sure, like, anytime we have a podcast episode and we talk about like what we're aiming to do, like if you were to go back and listen to all our intros for like the last how many years, I'm fairly sure almost every time you're like, okay, so what I'm gonna do better at is be more consistent with X, Y, and Z. That's always been like what you've said that you need to and slash want to do better or do more of. And now look at you. Consistency
Look at
queen.
me. Yeah, like honestly, look at my. Oh, I wish I could send. I would love to send you this little spreadsheet. It's been 3 months of 6 days a week and kind of 50 to 70 Ks, pretty consistent, a few little dips on deload weeks. And the body's feeling good. I'm touch wood, still injury free, really touching the
Can
wood.
Can I ask, did you normally have a rest day every week? I feel like there was a good period where you never had one full day of rest. Like you were just
When you say
always, I'd
full
have like
day
a
of rest, is that like
running
no
rest.
gym or just running?
You just had 6 days running. So I assume we're not talking about training outside of
Oh,
that.
yeah.
I feel like, and I could be wrong, but there was a good period where you never had a run rest day. It was 7 days of running. And like that'd still be a short day, obviously, but like, is that correct? You're not in your head.
Yeah. There was definitely just with work and what I was doing, it was just always lots of little runs. Like I still wasn't doing any more volume than I am total volume throughout the week. But yeah, there were definitely times where I didn't have a rest day off running throughout the week.
Oh, yeah, I wonder if you've responded well to that, because I definitely don't like to be that sort of, what's the word? I think some people like, you absolutely have to have one day of full rest, like, got to be there. And the other people are like, no, you have like your cruisy, easy run. But I don't think there's any hard and fast way to do it. But I know for me personally, I've always enjoyed just the consistency of movement. I always feel good when I just move. Yeah, we know there's research that shows that bones like to have that period of rest, but a lot of that is just like 6 hours between runs, not necessarily like a full 24 or 48 hours. So yeah, I don't know if there is research on like runners who have like same volume but one full day off running. It's so hard, isn't it? Because like then what, how do you measure up to even that full day of running? Like if you go and do a HIIT class at the gym where there's jumping, does then that sort of delete that rest day? Like, I mean, this is just a whole conversation in its own, but I don't think there's an actual answer right now, but just like something to reflect on. I wonder if that is related.
Yeah, it's definitely something I've thought about. And normally on that Tuesday, I would do like a conditioning class at the gym instead of the run. And if there were like jumping lunges or things like that, I would just do a normal lunge and not do the jumping part because in my head, I just thought, let's just like keep it kind of low. I hate using the phrase low impact.
Oh, I know.
But like non-jumping, non-plyometrics, non-plyometric activities, just like off feet type cardio, like biking or rowing or skier type stuff.
Oh. But then we know that strength training loads our bone. So, like, what is the point in skipping jumping? Like,
A different
often, if
load,
you're doing,
right?
yeah, but if you're going to do a plyometric, like, we know that bone gets bored and stops responding if you do more than like 15 reps. So if you're doing a plyometric, potentially you would have less adaptation from your bone, but is it actually less stress? Like I don't have answers exactly, but like I know exactly what you mean because I've had all these thoughts as well. Like my thought around not doing the jumping would be to deload your tendons because you're going to have you're requiring no elastic potential, so you're not using your tendons in the same way that you run. But I'd actually imagine that the heavy weights is gonna you're going to get more adaptation from your bone, so would that not be considered more bone loading?
I feel like we should ask
Oh
nothing.
yeah, Rich, really. Well, we didn't speak about that because we know like higher rep, you just get less bone adaptation, which means that running, you don't get good bone adaptation, but you do still get bone sort of like stress. Yeah, it's really interesting. I totally see why not jumping would be a really good
Well,
thing
I
to
just
do
think because
on
it's
your running
similar to
day.
the running, and I think
Yeah.
we need to have things that aren't just always the same. The variety, I think, is what I was looking for.
Yeah, I guess as well, like the point of you going to the gym is to get strong. And when you're at the gym working on your strength, you're working on your strength. And when you're at the gym working on your plyo, that's a separate thing as well, right? So if you're going to a class where the goal is strength, then you don't need the plyo lunges. You just need the strength, right? Yeah. Cool. We should do an episode on this.
We should.
But let's move on.
Yes, some of the listeners' favorite events from the year. Let me just bring them up. We heard.
The rest of your high five. Just
Oh,
talking
how
about
long do you
your
want me
rest
to go
day.
for?
I want to
I
hear
said
about your
those
racing
events.
that. You haven't
I
told me
said
about the rest of.
GNW, Narrowneck,
Oh, okay.
Gromlo.
I must have just been thinking about your rest day.
I feel like I went into detail in the episodes throughout the year. So if you want to know more, go back.
True. True.
But I wanted to bring up these people, what they were saying about the favorites of
Yes.
the year. We had from Nicole, the Sun Run. Oh, that's coming up again soon. How exciting.
Oh,
DY to Manly. Now, let me know if you know what this is. HNWU.
nice.
I first
H
thought
M.
Hounslow, but then I didn't know what all the other letters were for.
Oh,
Hong, no.
Hawks
Hawk's
Nest
Nest.
Worldwide Ultra.
Oh, Hawk's Nest would make sense. This is from Joe, who's from Newcastle. Anyway, Joe, if you're
Oh.
listening, let us know what that stands for. I did try and Google it, but didn't come up. Anyway, then we also had More Than a Run, which has to be one of my highlights as well. Forgot all about it. The More Than a Run event that was on this year in November, was so much fun for those who were there. It was a little bit of a rainy day in Sydney, but everyone got together and did a 30 or a 60 or a 10, and it was really, really fun. We had the North Shore or North Sydney version where we started in North Sydney and ran over to the bridge to meet everyone at Centennial Park, and it was just lovely, everyone coming together, having a chat and a run. It was awesome. So Fitzy also enjoyed that event. And Sota enjoyed Bondi to Manly, which I have to say, I think we both also thoroughly enjoyed, despite not
Yes,
participating.
that was also one of my favorite events.
So much fun.
Well, one of my only events. That was my favorite too. Yes,
You were at
Bondi
the
to
finish line.
Manly. Oh my God, and Sydney Marathon. Why did I not mention this? They were two career highlights, I should say, getting to work for Sydney Marathon and Bondi to Manly. Two of the biggest events in Sydney, getting to be the physio at the finish line was very amazing. And getting to see so many of my favorite people cross the finish line. Sophie Lane, you would also have been included in that, but you didn't cross the finish line.
I
You
was
were
too
just at
fast.
the finish
You couldn't see
line.
me.
But yes, yeah, so you were included in that. And oh my goodness, wasn't that just so fun? Seeing everyone cross the finish line, the celebration hugs and high fives and
The
people
best.
collapsing on the ground, like just good vibes, like the sense of achievement and accomplishment you could see in people's faces. Oh, I love that. That was so great, wasn't
That was awesome. I'm so excited to watch it again this year. It's so much more fun watching it than doing it.
Yeah, I bet. That's why I haven't
Spectating
done
is
it.
great. Chris Dunstan also said that UTA 50 was his favorite.
Oh my
Of course, a
goodness.
classic.
Oh,
You
it
can't
makes me
go
want to
past UTA.
cry. Oh, I just see, I, this is why, oh gosh, this is why I like running because it's so fun.
Is so fun.
Bloody hell.
We
Yeah,
will
that
be
would have
there
been
soon.
amazing. Yeah. What
Also,
else?
Buffalo Stampede. I've never done that, but would be keen
Oh.
to check that out. That's Victoria, right?
Oh, yes, I believe.
I'm asking
Triple
the wrong person.
Q is not my
We
thing.
also had Canberra Marathon and Lonely Mountain Ultra. Lonely Mountain is the one in orange. New event. Lots of distances
Oh.
there, so lots of variety for everyone involved.
That's right, Mount Canopus.
That's the one. Good
It
pronunciation.
is.
That sounds correct.
It is correct because I'm good at these
Nice.
things. May not know where it is, but I can pronounce it. Pronounce it.
I think they are the main events of the year, highlight wise.
Oh goodness. And let's just do one more thing from this year. What are you most proud of
What
this
have you
year? Sophie
reflected
Lane?
on?
What are you most
Oh,
proud
we
of
knew this was
yourself for this
coming.
year? Oh,
I have to say, my consistency, because apparently that's all I've ever asked for, and I've done it.
well done. I'm proud of that as well for you.
Thank you.
I'm actually proud of you. Very proud and
You
very
sound
excited.
surprised.
No, I'm just like, yeah, I'm just thinking about it and I am. I'm really stoked for you. I'm really excited to see how consistent you are. And I
If you
just,
check my Strava, you'd know.
well, I did actually. I did check it a few days ago. Just to check in on you, just to make sure you're
Thanks.
still
I hope
kicking.
so. I hope
Well,
you're always thinking about me.
she's still around. I just hadn't heard an audio note for a few days, so I was like, I'll just check that she's
She's
still
still
alive.
alive.
Like, yep, she's good. Cool. All right. Are you gonna ask me?
Yeah, tell me your proudest moment of the year.
Okay, probably not. Oh, okay. Well, we're talking about running on life.
Of course,
Well.
life.
We'll stick to the theme of running. I'm gonna say I'm proud of myself for being patient and for not getting too greedy for a sense of progression in anything and any way that I can find it. So at the start of the year, I said that I wanted to find more space to be still. And that sounds like my goal was to meditate. And I kind of liked the idea of potentially meditating, but generally speaking, I wanted to just find more times to stop and smell the roses, as they say. And pretty much that sums it up, finding space in my life. And I have noticed that when I don't rush as much and take time to pause and breathe and just really be present in the moment, I just enjoy things better. And I think for the most part, that's what sport does for me. Like going to the gym, you get really focused on what you're doing and running, you're in beautiful places, swimming, like all the different things I do give me that in ways. But I've noticed that most of what I do still tends to chase some kind of objective goal and is also quite stimulating in the sense that it's either running an ultra marathon or it's surfing, trying to catch a big wave. When I say big wave, 1 foot, because that's big for me. But it's always stuff that requires a lot of energy. And I'd say for the most part, I'm a very energetic person. Like I love doing stuff, but I wanted to challenge myself to find more stillness because I think that it's important to be able to have both. And I think having that contrast gives you more appreciation for the fast pace. And I also just think it's a really valuable skill because you need it in everyday life. Like you can't always rely on the high intensity high that you get. Like you do your hardcore activity and then you get this adrenaline rush or endorphin rush or the runner's high, as you did an episode on Sophie Lane. So I wanted to be able to have another tool in the toolkit to feel connected and feel energized, but without doing the highly stimulating activity. So I said that at the start of the year, and then I was gifted from the heavens this cascade of injuries
Oh,
too.
you asked for
I
it.
know, I know. And
Wow.
it's been from my hamstring, there was several weeks where I couldn't really walk properly, and then several months of being in pain every time I sat down and struggling to get in and out of bed, in and out of the car. And then when that eased, then I had this groin pain that followed pretty quickly, and then I had this nerve pain down my leg. And there's been a lot of time this year where I've struggled to, as I said, get in and out of bed when it was my hamstring, and then it was my groin, and then it was this nervy stuff, and then it was my foot. Sitting prolongs been hard. Like there's been a lot of things, and I don't want this to be about oh, there's been all these hard things. But for someone who, I looked at my Strava from a year ago, and I'd done a 30K run in the morning, followed by an 8K swim, and then a bush walk, and then a surf, and that was just my regular Saturday. It was cool, lovely Saturday full of activities, and then probably the next day did all the same stuff. And that definitely wasn't every single day and every single weekend. And you could look at that and be like, oh, well, this is why you're injured because you've burnt out. But I don't actually think it was quite like that. I think there were some injuries that happened which were just a little bit unlucky. And I definitely, since I have my stress fracture, take a lot more rest time off, recovery weeks, deload weeks, blah, blah, blah. But I think I definitely hadn't honed the skill of just chilling out and relaxing. So I guess what I was trying to say about being someone who's capable or has been capable of doing all that stuff, it's quite weird and challenging to suddenly be like, it hurts if I walk. And I actually can't really walk much more than my bedroom to my car. Or when I was walking, I was like, I actually can't walk fast because when I walk any faster than this, then I'll be waking up all night with hip pain. So it was very foreign. And it's been a very strange year in my body because I'm not that strong and I don't feel that fit. And yeah, that's really hard. And just seeing all your friends do all the fun stuff that you like doing. And yeah, I guess missing it and not even missing out because I know I can go and do it eventually, or at least I hope so. But just trying to find a way to still be comfortable with who I am as a person without being the fit person or the strong person or the doer, because even when I haven't been a runner, I've been someone who's active and seeking some kind of movement, and I've had to find more stillness. So I'm proud of myself for the patience, and I'm proud of myself for not trying really hard to like find some other like outlet where I can go at 200% because I actually just haven't, and actually feeling oddly okay with that.
Wow, it really has come around full circle. And you really got what you were seeking, but just not probably in the way that you would have liked it to happen, or probably not for the duration, or I guess not having the choice maybe to choose when you want to be still or choose when you want to do things. And obviously, you've been doing other things instead, as you've said. But I think, yeah, it sounds like it's been a really nice lesson, and probably frustrating at times and upsetting at times, and yeah, hard. But it sounds like you have been able to appreciate the stillness and the swimming and the diving and those other activities that, you know, if you had been running as normal the whole year, you may not have has you may not have had as much time for those things, or yeah, wouldn't have appreciated them as much. So I'm proud of you for persisting and handling it all so well, because it's been a lot, and it would be really easy to just throw the towel in and just be like, no, I'm just gonna, I don't know, sit around and do nothing, which I know is just not you at all, but you could have
But
handled
also,
it.
like, that's part of the thing, though, is like, I have had to sit around and do nothing as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I couldn't swim for a lot of time as well. Like, my hip hurt to swim, my foot hurt to swim. Like, the cold water was the worst thing for it. And then I'd get in the chlorine, and then that would make other things worse. So, like, there has been lots of periods of like, actually just no options to go and do stuff, like even the gym being really hard to find anything that I could do. So like I know you're saying like, oh, you could just sit around, throw in the towel and sat down, done nothing. It's like I feel like, well, I kind of have had to sit down and do nothing a lot of the times. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know where to go from here. What's
Well, I
the
mean,
what are the next steps?
I mean, I would, I guess I'm saying like we just don't know. We're gonna say we, me and my team, myself. I'm actually back on anti-inflammatories again as of 2 days ago, just to see if that makes my foot feel any better. Because you have to keep taking steps, you
You
know. And
do.
when I say steps, not too many steps, because you know, I
Gentle
look, I guess
steps.
we're back to the theme of what are you proud of, blah, blah, blah. I'm proud of all the stillness. And just like being forced to just be still. And like, you know, when you said like find other things to do, like the swimming, the diving, like there's been lots of periods where I just haven't been able to do that for months at a time. So I feel like it's not about me finding other things. It's about getting comfortable, just accepting doing very little of several things at times, sometimes nothing at times. And just like not having too much of a plan and a structure. Because in the past, I'd want to be like, okay, we're not running, right? So, okay, we're gonna do 4 hours of cycling on Tuesday. We're gonna do 4 hours of elliptical on Wednesday. We're gonna, you know what I mean? Like, have some kind of structured training or whatever. And like, there were definitely periods of me sort of trying to control the situation again and being like, okay, I'm gonna start doing this many steps a day, this much roll out at the gym. But I've sort of like fought that on and off of like just trying to relax into the unknown and relax into just doing nothing. Or just doing little bits of things like, okay, well, we're just gonna do 10 minutes and see how we go, or like we're just gonna have another rest day and see how we go. Because nothing has been that I've struggled to like really know at the moment, at least the last couple months, to know what is still making my foot sore because I feel like I'm just not really doing anything. What do you think would be the swimming and the diving? So like again, like it's hard to know, am I doing too much of that? Blah blah blah. But the next steps, which you asked, I just continuing to focus on where my feet are and not the future. Just one day at a time. Still mobbing my foot, take anti-inflammatories for another week, do my calf raises.
Nice.
That's it. And train
Very
my triceps.
good. Triceps?
Yes.
What for?
Well, because I'm getting a bit of a tricep tendinopathy
Oh,
from
from
my,
swimming.
yeah. That's what happens when you don't do much swimming and then do spontaneous longer swimming than you used to.
Yes. All right. So, our 2024 goals/plans for the podcast and for ourselves, not so much training, but just in general, being part of the community. What events are we going to spectate at and clap our hands at? Where are we going to be? What's happening? What plans do we have in terms of content? There are a few things we will keep under wraps and keep sneaky, because you'll have to stay tuned for those as they become available to you. But in general, podcast is continuing. Imagine that. Imagine if you were like, this is the end.
No,
I still, I keep joking about that. Like, surely it's going to have to end one day. Imagine us doing this when we're 90.
Anyway. Well, it depends who lives the oldest, right?
That's a bit of a competition, isn't it? If I don't make it to triple digits, I'm not happy.
Right. So you're going for the big old
one. You got to get the letter from the king. Anyway, so yes, podcast is continuing. Every fortnight we have a guest. Every other fortnight it is just a solo ep. We also have a newsletter as of a few months ago, weeks ago. So if you're not already subscribed to that, Lydia, where can they find the sign up link?
It's in our link tree. So go onto our Instagram and check out the old link tree. Actually, maybe we'll put it in our show notes as well. Let's put it in the show notes.
Let's do that.
Get the producer to pop that in the show.
Note to the editor, add that one in. And so they'll be coming out weekly with a little bit around the podcast episode, a little bit of information, tips and tricks, depending on what we are up to. And we also have started our YouTube channel. We had one video on there from a while ago, but we have reinvigorated it. And there is another episode on there, which, Lydia, it's got 400 views. Thank you very much. I know, we're going to be famous YouTubers.
Wow.
There was a comment on there actually about one of the shoes that I, if you haven't watched it, guys, it was about the shoes of my 2023 favorite shoes of the year. Someone commented saying one of them came out in 2022, which I didn't realize that was part of the deal, was it had to come out in the year. But anyway, we've already got some hate comments.
Oh, wow.
That's terrible. When you know you've made it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. You got to get the hate. Anyway, it was not hate, but it was just funny. So we're going to put some more content out on there soon. Hopefully some filmed podcasts at some point. We're going to be in an actual studio at some point. Aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to the studio.
We're going to an actual
taking us to the studio.
Yeah, we are going to be in there. So we're going to have to come up with something good to talk about so that we make that content last, because it's going to be reproduced and reshared on our page many times, because, you know, we may as well make the most of that. So stay tuned for that. We're going to be hopefully doing some more content with Sota and some of our other friends. We will hopefully be at some events this year, next year, 2024. I'll be at Tararua in New Zealand for anyone who's going to be over there. We're going to try and get to Coastal Ascent, by the way, Lids, in Newcastle in June. We will be there. Yes, that's Vlad exciting. And Tom Bertroni are bringing it back. So we are supporting the team in Newcastle. So there's a 25, a 50, and a couple of shorter distances, but we will be there bringing the vibes and the cheers.
Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, there's always like lots of events that we want to get to. I think Sydney Marathon will be another big one this year. We are in the running to be an Abbotsford Major. So obviously this year I worked at Sydney Marathon, which was absolutely incredible, and that was as a part of my job at the Running Room. If you guys are in Sydney, you guys probably have heard of the Running Room, which is a physiotherapy practice. So we are hoping to do a little bit, or be a little bit more involved with Sydney Marathon as well this year, as a podcast and as a physio slash exercise physiologist. So that is another one to add to your calendars.
Yeah,
and just generally, I mean, hopefully just all the fun local stuff as well. Like Sydney, we both live in Sydney, if you guys didn't know, but Sydney's just got such an incredible running community, and that's something that I'm really grateful for. And obviously, like, all these big events are so much fun, and they're definitely big highlights. But I think just the weekly ins and outs, runs, you know, like the weekly runs, the weekly running clubs and communities are just really special. And that for me, and, you know, this is something that I have probably expressed before, and I'm sure you guys would imagine, is like the thing that I miss about running for the most part is like just that feeling of, like, you know, going for your 5 a.m. run with your friends and just hearing those little stories of people's lives, you know, week after week, and checking in with these people that No, you may not be absolutely their best friend, but you just know these little parts about their lives, and just opportunity to connect with like-minded people is something that I absolutely love and am grateful for. So next year I'm excited for all these fun big events, but also just, I'm trying to think what that word is, but like the ins and outs of the week.
I
What is that?
don't know what
You
you're
know
thinking
what
of. Like the
I mean?
happenings, like
Yeah.
the nitty-gritty.
It's wrong. It's so wrong, but I think you get what I mean. The ins and the outs. I don't know what I'm thinking, but
Don't
obviously, I don't know yet if I'm, able to be doing any of that. But
know. The
I
ins or
think
the
a
outs.
few months ago, I was talking about walk club because walk club is off. Walk club is cancelled because I don't think I can walk too far. I'm trying to limit my walking, so now we're on walking rations. If anyone wants
Rations.
to join me
You should
on,
get a scooter or something.
oh,
Like an
yeah.
electric scooter.
Yeah. Or I'm actually swimming again. So if anyone wants to join me on a swim, an ocean swim, I'm actually back on the swim bandwagon because it doesn't hurt my foot or my hip officially, not at all. That's what's happening. Watch
Good. They are the
that.
ins and outs. You'll jump in the water, you'll jump out of the water.
Yes.
Repeat that a few
Yes.
times. And if anyone wants to come for a run with me,
Yeah,
come
so if anyone's
down.
still running,
I'll be there 6 days
if
a week. Any day
anyone
but
wants
Tuesday.
a swimming podcast or a diving podcast, let me know.
Yeah.
No, everyone's quiet. Seagulls.
Birds chirping. All right, we better wrap this up because this needs editing because this is coming out soon. Any final words for the listeners?
Find your why, find your purpose. No, just thank you guys. Thank you so much for listening this whole year or 3 years, or maybe this is your first episode. Thanks for being a part of it. I was gonna say we couldn't make it without you, but we definitely could. We
You guys
definitely
aren't helping at
could.
all.
No,
Lydia needs a new
but
laptop if anyone has any spares.
guys, we're on struggle street right now. My Christmas present was waking up to my laptop being broken.
Yeah, sorry about the
We gotta
audio.
come on. Yeah, so guys, thank you for being here because even though we would still make it if no one listened, it's much greater knowing that there's people downloading the episodes and
Yeah.
sending us messages and writing reviews. And we never really thought that we were going to have this many listens. Even some of
I know. You know
the
what?
people are like, I never thought I'd be a millionaire. And I'm like, mate, are you sure? Like, I had to dream big. So I'm not going to say I
We.
never thought that we'd have this many listens, but I never really could have imagined that people actually would care. Like, I actually still find that very weird. So
Me too.
thank you
We
for.
exceeded our download goal for the year, by the way. Don't know if you're aware of
Oh,
that.
excuse me
I'll let you
now.
know off air what the number was.
Okay.
But yeah, it's so nice. And on that note, it's really, really nice if you guys message us saying, hey, love that episode, or hey, I thought about this, or have you thought about this, or anything at all? Because otherwise, we see the numbers, but we don't really see the faces. So it's really nice to know who's listening, know what you thought, whether you don't have anything to say, but you just let us know you listened to it, or take a photo of where you were when you're listening to it. Anything like that means a lot to us, and we would really appreciate keeping up to date with what you're all up to. And hopefully we can see you in person as well at some of the events this year, or in Sydney, or wherever we end up. Hopefully Gold Coast as well, speaking of events. Also, if you are thirsty, grab yourself some Tailwind and you can rehydrate yourself or prehydrate yourself. And also if you need some sun care for your skin, check out our discount code for Scorcher. Also, if you need some barefoot shoes for your gym, walking, running activities, Vivo Barefoot are the go-to for that. And yeah, that's us.
That's it. Thank you so
Another
much for listening,
year done
friends.
and
Have
dusted.
the most wonderful New Year's Eve, New Year's Day,
Yeah.
and that's it. Just keep on cracking on. Keep on keeping on. Have fun. Thanks. Goodbye.